Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, welcome to Conservative Talk Radio, who are always right and never lose. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Today, Utah 2020 congressional candidate Mary Burkett talks about federal overspending on the show. Let's welcome her to the show today. Ms. Burkett, how are you? Hello? Ms. Burkett, are you on the air? Ms. Burkett, are you on the air? I wonder if we are having some technical difficulty. It appears that she's in the studio, but Ms. Burkett, I cannot hear you. Anyways, we try to get a call of Mrs. Burkett. Today we're going to talk about federal government overspending. Current U.S. government spending is at around $4.7 trillion for the fiscal year of 2020. And before the recession, the government kept federal spending below 20% of the GDP. It grew no faster than the economy, around 2%. To 3% per year during the recession. Spending grew to a record 24.3% of GDP fiscal year 2012. This increase was due to economic stimulus and two overseas wars. At the same time, growth slowed. That reduced tax receipts. Congress worried about the ballooning U.S. debt. No one could agree on how to reduce it. As a result, Congress enacted a 10% budget cut called a sequester. That finally reduced spending to 20.7% of GDP in the fiscal year 2015. Since then, spending has crept up again despite the sequester. Congress and the president rely on deficit spending to boost economic growth. Excuse me. But deficit spending is out of control. It rises each year, even when the economy is doing well. I hope that we took care of our technical difficulty. Candidate Congresswoman Mary Burkett, are you in the studio now?
I'm here.
Awesome, awesome. I saw you in the studio before.
It worked.
And
I guess we're
having some technical difficulty. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah. It's good to be here. I enjoy it.
Awesome. Before you get into the meat and potatoes of federal overspending, can you briefly share with the American people introduce yourself for those who don't know who candidate Mary Burkett is. Thank you.
Yeah, I actually live in southern Utah. This second district is very strange. It has the greatest geographic distance. I live in St. George is the furthest from Salt Lake City as you can imagine. In the summer, when you hear that the weather is 110 in Vegas, it's 105 where I live. It's a dry heat. Everybody likes it here because it's a dry heat, blah, blah, blah. Although in August, there are times when you wish you were dead. It's so hot. But the terrain here is very different from the northern part of Utah. But there are 13 counties in this district, and so I'm traveling a lot. And I'm running because we have an incumbent who's a heck of a nice guy. Niceness is a big deal here in Utah. But he hasn't voted the way he said he was going to. He's not the conservative he said he was going to be. I got interested in politics about 15 years ago, just standing at the kitchen sink. My husband was watching television nearby, and I heard someone say something about the Constitution that I knew wasn't correct. So I stopped what I was doing, went in the other room, grabbed our copy of the Constitution, realized, wow, that guy got it wrong. And I had to wonder, how many other things have I heard over the years that were incorrect about the Constitution and I just didn't think about it? And so I jumped in with both feet, you know, got involved in my county party. I've been a precinct chair. We have a caucus convention system here in Utah. I've been on the state central committee. I was the vice chair of the Washington County Republican Party. And in 2018, I ran just to see, you know, is there an opening here? and I did pretty well. So I thought, okay, there's an opening here. And I also talked to a couple of very high power consultants who said, you need to run again, because from 2018, you've got some name recognition, you've got some opportunities, and you did really well. So I said, yeah, let's do this again. Found some people. I have a very small staff. I am a fiscal conservative, and as a result, I live it. I have a very small paid staff. Excuse me, I had to get some water.
Yes.
And one of the people is just a part-time admin who we slop all the, you know, if it, emails to send, whatever, she does all that. And she's only part-time. I have a consultant. I have somebody who comes in from time to time to consult on some things, but that's about it. And I've got a ton of volunteers. Every week I get at least two or three more people saying, hey, I want to volunteer for you, because they agree with me. You know, the person sitting in this seat right now turned out not to be the person we thought he was going to be.
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is there anything
so
I forgot to tell you?
No, I'm sorry. I thought that there was a break in the connection, but you can continue. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to be sure that I got everything. There was a time when I was a single mother with six children, no money, no marketable skills. In less than 3 years, maybe about 2.5 years, I still had six children and no money, but I had marketable skills in the form of a college degree, and I worked my way out of poverty, because that's what we do in this country. And as I look forward, you know, we have a lot of grandchildren now, and I look at my granddaughters and I think of the opportunity I had when my life imploded. I got to reinvent myself, and I got educated, and I got a good job, and I worked and went into a different industry. It kind of, that college degree just opened some doors to me that would not have opened had I not had a degree. And then you fast forward, and one day your daughter calls and tells you that her husband is terminally ill. Well, she had a good example, and she knew, I don't like this. She cared for her husband, her four small children. The youngest was just 6 months old when her husband was diagnosed. And, you know, they were told, you know, 2 years, he'll be gone in 2 years. He lasted four. That gave my daughter time to get an education, get her feet on the ground, and take care of her family. Again, that's what we do in this country. But as I look at other people, it seems those doors are closing, those opportunities to reinvent yourself, to take on, switch professions, whatever it is. I heard recently about a woman who went to law school in her early 50s. That's awesome. You know, those opportunities are going away. And I want to get the federal government out. The federal government has become an obstacle. It sold itself as I'm here to help. Like Ronald Reagan said, you know, the scariest phrase is I'm from the government and I'm here to help. it is a scary phrase, and it really isn't the truth. So, and while I was in college for 4 or 5 months, well, I got my feet on the ground. I did accept some welfare assistance. I did have some student loan debt, but I had 10 years to pay the loans back, and I paid them back in 5. And it just aggravates me every time I hear somebody say we need to, you know, forgive all student debt. That's crazy.
Well, not only is it crazy, you know, you are an example to women and American people that you can be a single mother, have challenges, be on welfare temporarily, and recover.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're a candidate for the United States Congress.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is important
Kim.
Because your story gives people faith and hope.
Yep.
And these are the type of candidates like yourself that we need to represent our country, because you have personally experienced and can identify the challenges of average folks.
Yep, absolutely.
And that is one of the problems that we have today in politics, is the disconnect between the elected official and John Q. Public.
I agree.
We need to have more people in office like yourself to close that gap.
Yep,
I don't want to talk about endorsing you on the show today. I don't want to talk about the federal overspending. But it's important for me to note that, though.
Yep.
It's very, very important for me to note that because you are an example.
Well, thank you.
Of if you put hard work in, you can achieve.
Yep, you sure can.
And you are also an example of the government giving you a hand up and not a hand out.
Right, exactly.
And you are an example of...
I remember.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember the day I went to the welfare office. This was before you could do everything online. To tell the fellow who was working with me, I don't need this anymore. He said, oh, no, you do. You need this. No, I don't. I really don't. I've got child support covers my rent and utilities, barely, but it did. I had a part-time job for a while, and then I was able to get a couple of grants. Now, we were not living high on the hog. We were surviving. You know, everybody had shoes on their feet, and everybody had food in their belly every day. They had a roof over their head. We were living a very basic life, but I was being responsible. And I think sometimes, and there were times when my kids and I talk about, remember when we were poor and we did this or we did that, you know, didn't go to amusement parks. We went to, you know, city parks. We took advantage of anything that's free, the library. But yeah, it is hard. And I would not want to live that time of my life again. But the dividends, they keep paying. They keep paying back because now I have granddaughters. And when they're, you know, they hit, everybody has adversity in their life at one point or another. They've had examples, not just me, but two of my daughters whose lives imploded and they rose to the occasion. That's how we do things in this country. And I would hope that other women outside my immediate circle will recognize and say, hey, you know, if she did it, I bet I could do it too. And it's true.
I would like to, because we're already halfway into this show, I definitely like
okay,
to have
I apologize.
You come back. No. This is very important for the American people to get to know who Mary mm-hmm. Burkett is. Not just a congressional candidate, but the hard work that you put in your personal life to say, hey, listen, you know, I want to pay it forward. I want to reach back and help others. Dynamic
yep.
story. I mean, it is
yep.
so dynamic that I would hope that you would come back on the show and we can talk about the current welfare state. Talk about your
mm-hmm.
experience. Also, as a Republican and a conservative, I had to experience welfare at a certain period of time. But there's
mm-hmm.
hope after of that if you continue to do the right thing and continue to move forward.
Yep. Right.
So we're examples, and I really want to thank you. That is very, very important for us to note, especially for you as a candidate, because there's still people out there struggling every day.
Right.
And they need to know that there are people like them that are trying to represent them and understand the challenges they go through every day just to eat, to put together their food
right.
stamps. And that's important
yep.
because
yep.
people can identify with you. You can feel them. You're not removed
yeah.
from John Q.
Right.
Public. I want to thank you
yeah,
for sharing
true.
That.
Yeah.
In the first half of the show today, for those who are calling in, we are blessed to have the Utah 2020 congressional candidate, Mary Burkett, with us today. This is Conservative Talk Radio. We're always right, never left. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. The next half of the show, we're going to get into federal overspending. And we might have to do a part two, depending on how much time we have left. Please, I want to. I would like to have you talk about federal overspending. If you want to identify, I identified briefly some of the issues, how we got here in my summary in the beginning. If you want to get right into the meat and potatoes of not how we got here, about what we need to do to cut in the last half, that might be a little bit more productive and more informative, you know, for the audience.
Right. There is a very simple conclusion to come to when it comes to how we got here. How we got here was we kept reelecting people who were okay overspending. That's how we got here. We weren't paying attention. We were asleep at the switch. That's how we got here. And this whole idea, you know, the woke culture, well, I think middle America is much more awake and they recognize, okay, we made a mistake here. We kept letting the people we elected to overspend. Can't do it anymore. It's one of the reasons I'm running. We will be at $24 trillion debt by the end of 2020. Now, there are some predictions who say, oh, that isn't going to happen until 2021. Nope, it's going to happen by the end of 2020. It's got to stop. And we need to elect people like me who know how to say, no, I'm not going to vote for that bill. I'm not a politician. I don't owe anybody anything. The money that I get for my campaign comes from small donors and has come out of my own pocket, quite honestly. I planned on doing some things with a little inheritance that I got. Well, I'm using it to run for Congress. So we need to recognize our mistakes. And that's the feedback I'm getting. People are saying, okay, we're going to elect you because you're willing to say no. You're willing to stand up and I am. Right now, I honestly believe that fear is the adversary's greatest tool. It holds us back from stepping up and saying, no, I won't vote for that bill. And no, I won't vote for you because you've allowed us to get here. And you voted for some of those increases. So no, you're a very nice person. Go home, hang out with your grandbabies, and get out of my way. Because we've got to get the federal government out of people's way. We Americans, this is something that I think we forget. We are the movers and shakers of this world. We are the inventors and the innovators of this world. If that was not true, China would not be spending so much money trying to buy our technology, and when they can't buy it, they steal it. If that was not true, we would not have the situation we have on our southern border of people trying to get here. We've got to stop thinking that we elect these people and they're going to fix everything. No, they're not. They've demonstrated for decades. They don't go to Washington to fix anything. They play the game like everybody else does. So they can go home and say, wow, I'm on the powerful appropriations committee and you want to reelect me because I've got all this power. No, you don't. You don't. It's just not true. And so we've got to stop accepting the out-and-out lies that we're told, the little illusions, the sleight of hand. One of the biggest things that has gotten us here is omnibus bills. Well, you know, when they don't have the votes for an omnibus bill, do you know what they do? They carve out a piece of it, call it a minibus bill. They vote for that, and then they can go home and say, hey, I didn't vote for any omnibus bills. But most Americans don't understand. They probably voted for the minibus bills that were put in front of them. So essentially, they did vote for omnibus bills. But it's a sleight of hand thing that they do. And that's got to stop, too. One of the ways that I would start right away, actually, that my first day in Congress, I'm going to have four bills in my hand. Number one is going to be a mandate to the federal government to either sell or give away the 77,000 vacant and or underutilized buildings the federal government controls. And this is such a big problem because the maintenance on it, and nobody really knows exactly, it could be $1.5 billion, it could be $21 billion. There are several departments that are responsible for these buildings, and everybody has a different number that they throw out. If it's one penny, it's too much. Got to get rid of those buildings. This is such a big problem that even people in the Obama administration were trying to get a law like this or figure out not a law, but figure out a system to get rid of these buildings. And I'm thinking that's a bipartisan effort in that the Trump administration has been trying, the Obama administration tried. I'm thinking we can all agree on this and let's just tell the federal government, sell them, give them away. Can you imagine a nonprofit like a small health department in rural Utah, some county in rural Utah or any other state? They don't have a real facility. They've got an office at the county building, but it's not really a health department. What if we just gave a building to that department and said, here you go, here's your building. You can use the bottom floor for what you need, and the two stories above you, rent them out to other people, and you're going to be making a little money on that. Those kinds of things can be done. One of the objections has been that some of the buildings have black mold, some have asbestos, insulation. Okay, not that expensive to mitigate that, or knock the building down, destroy it, and just hand the land over to somebody. They'll find a use for it. We have to start thinking about privatizing. We did some privatizing a little bit when Clinton was in the Oval Office, but it's kind of gone the way of all the earth. We need to privatize Amtrak. We need to privatize the Postal Service. There are all kinds of things that can be done that shouldn't be done in federal government that we need to privatize. I am very much in favor of shutting down the Department of Education. Federal government doesn't need it. Utah knows how to best educate Utah kids. Maine knows best how to educate Maine kids. Florida knows best how to educate their kids, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Let's get the federal government out of education. And it's interesting to me how here in Washington County, where I am, I was in a public setting a few years ago when the Obama administration was demanding the transgender bathrooms. And yes. I was watching this woman who was on the school board, and we were just chit-chatting. And I had already been aware that our county only gets 7% of their budget from the federal government. So when she said – she was working on a project, she said, when this is over, then we have to go back to school board, and we've got to figure out how to do the transgender bathrooms. And I was thinking – and I didn't say it out loud because I didn't want to embarrass her in front of this group of people – but I was thinking, so why don't you just tell the federal government, no, we're not going to do it. But average people get so intimidated by the federal government. We've got to quit doing that and just say, no, we're not going to do that. That's not our community standard. That's not what we're going to do. That's not what we're about. Particularly since you realize that 0.06% of the population is transgender. Why? Why do we have to change all our bathrooms to accommodate that small number of people? It makes no sense. So anyway, that's another place where we've got to just start saying no, can't do it. But people get so intimidated. Oh no, we're gonna lose 7% of our budget if we don't do this. Well, you're gonna be spending probably 21% of your budget to make this happen. So sounds to me like saying no is the best option. But I'm just kind of pushy. I'm getting very aggressive in my old age. I'm not old, but I'm getting very aggressive because I'm so tired. I am so tired of the federal government. Go away. Just go away. We can do things on our own.
You are absolutely correct. We need limited government. We need to reduce spending.
Yep.
And we need to increase the opportunity to allow more people access to information, technology, education, translation into jobs.
Right,
we
exactly. Let's let the states do that. There's so much better at it. And we the people have more access to the people who make bad decisions on our behalf. Much easier to remove them from office on the state level. So we've got to do. And in fact, my governor several weeks ago had an op-ed in, I believe, the Wall Street Journal, where he says, give states more to do, get stuff off of your plate. Let us do some of this stuff. It's easier, it's cheaper. And I was very proud of him in that moment. I thought, right on, Governor Herbert, something I hadn't heard from him before. So, yeah, we have to, but it has to come from us. It has to come from we the people. And the first step is quit electing politicians.
That's it right there in the nutshell. We need public servants, not politicians. As we wrap the show up, this is Conservative Talk Radio, where we're always right, never left. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Ms. Burkett, we want to thank you again for coming on the show, talking about who you are, and talking about the federal government spending. Please join us next time on Twitter. Follow us at Right Talk Radio. You also can follow us on Facebook at Conservative Talk Radio at Facebook. Please follow us there for future updates. We will have Ms. Burkett back on in the studio probably within a month, and she's going to talk about pro-life in America today. We want to thank you for being on the show today, Ms. Burkett. And please
thank you for inviting me.
Yes, please share with the American people if they want to reach out to you, contact you, support your page, or make a donation to your campaign. How will they be able to do that?
Sure. And right now I need donations. You know, $25 when you're a grassroots candidate goes a long way. And if I could get 100 people donating $25, that would be awesome. Go to my website. It's just Burkett, B-U-R-K-E-T-T, the number 4, Utah.com. And my phone number, my personal phone number is on my website. And I do that. And the people that are working with me have said, hey, you know, you really need to let us answer your phone. No. I'm going to answer my phone. It's all fine. If I, you know, I get maybe 2 calls a week. If it ever gets that I'm getting 1,000, then okay, we'll talk. But I'm getting 2, maybe 3 calls a week from people who just want more information. And I'm happy to talk with them. When I'm in Congress, the number one job of my chief of staff will be to make sure I call 2 voters in the 2nd District every day between Monday and Friday, regular business hours. And every Friday afternoon, an email update will go out to anybody in the district who wants it to let them know what I'm doing, what I'm working on, who I'm meeting with, so they know I am about their business.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We thank you.
I appreciate
it. For talking to the American people.
Yeah, sure.
Once again, we want to thank our audience for listening in to Ms. Mary Burkett running for Congress in Utah as a GOP candidate. Please, once again, follow us at Twitter at Right Talk Radio. Look for us for future updates also at Facebook at Conservative Talk Radio. We want to thank all of our listeners for listening in. Please, God bless America. Make sure you vote. It is the most important principle that we have to exercise in our lifetime. May God bless you all, and may God bless America. And once again, Ms. Burkett, God bless you. And we thank you very much for being on the show. Have a good afternoon, all.
Thank you.